From WYPR, I'm Jamila Krempel. We're On the Record. In years past, Baltimore's Chinatown was a bustling area, home to restaurants, shops, and cultural parades. Today, only a handful of Asian-owned businesses remain. Two women are leading a revival of the area, hoping to unite Asian-American identity in the city. We meet Catherine Chin, a longtime community leader, and Stephanie Su, an organizer with the Chinatown Collective.
What drew me to understanding more of the stories and the histories and the legacy behind Baltimore's Chinatown is an underlying conversation that we as Asian Americans in Baltimore City have been having. What does it mean to be Asian American in a city where conversations around race are predominantly black and white?
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
I'm WYPR's digital producer, Jamila Krempel, in for Sheila Cass. And we're On the Record. Most major American cities, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Seattle, have a Chinatown. It's usually a colorful area with a Chinese arch marking a gateway to the neighborhood. The streets are filled with sounds and aromas wafting from businesses packed with locals and tourists. Baltimore also has a Chinatown, though not as well known. First established in the late 1800s, it ran along the 200 block of Marion Street. The second iteration, developed after World War II, can still be found along the 300 and 400 blocks of Park Avenue. For decades, it was a bustling area, home to numerous restaurants, civic organizations, shops, and cultural parades. Today, a handful of Asian-owned businesses remain, but much of what still stands are vacant, boarded-up properties and faded signage that hints to a more vibrant past. But Baltimore's Chinatown is on the verge of yet another era. One person who has witnessed its evolution and is influencing its future is Catherine Chin. Chin is a longtime Chinatown community leader. She and her late husband, Calvin Chin, shared dreams of making the area a cultural and economic hub for immigrants of the Asian diaspora. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also with us is organizer Stephanie Su. She and the volunteer-run Chinatown Collective are among the people working to pick up where Calvin and Catherine left off. Recently, they organized a Pan-Asian cultural event called the Charm City Night Market. Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you.
Stephanie, first tell us how you and Catherine met.
Catherine and I first met at an Anliang Merchants Association dinner celebrating the Lunar New Year in March of 2017.
And Catherine, tell us about what you remember in your first meeting with Stephanie.
Well, I was very impressed with Stephanie because she was so willing to do a lot for the community. And that was always something that Calvin and I were just so overwhelmed with. Anybody who showed that much interest, and Stephanie has shown more than that much interest. She's really been a dear to the community.
One really important thing to note is that meeting was probably about 2 months into my own personal happenstance, a discovery upon that area. And the first words out of Kitty's mouth or out of Catherine's mouth were, my husband and I grew up, lived, worked, tried to bring back that area as a Pan-Asian inclusive Chinatown. And that to me was really something that was really interesting. And so as we started to have more conversations, it really stemmed out of that first conversation of imagining a space that could become more than it was.
And tell us about when you first found Baltimore's Chinatown.
I first came across the 300 and 400 blocks of Park Avenue when I was doing some R&D for a pop-up that...
Research and development,
okay. Yeah. Steve Chu from Ekiben and I were doing for a pop-up at the time. And normally, you know, if I need some ingredients, I'll head out to the county to pick up an ingredient or two. But I remembered, you know, somebody saying something about a Chinese grocery store in the city. Mm-hmm. And so I called ahead, you know, asked if they had this ingredient, and luckily they did. So I made my way down and In walking around those streets, you know, I noticed a couple of restaurants, the pagoda-type structures, some remaining Chinese characters on the walls hinting back to a different era. And right around the corner, of course, is the Enoch Pratt Library and the Maryland Historical Society, both of whom have kept records of the Chinatown era. We were able to do some more research in history and dive into those stories.
And Catherine, tell us about when you first came to Baltimore's Chinatown and what was it like at the time?
Well, I was born in Washington, D.C. My sister and her husband lived in Baltimore, so I came to Baltimore to stay with my sister for a while. But that's when I met Calvin's parents, and that's when I learned about Chinatown, because Grace and St. Peter Church, Episcopal Church, is in the 700 block of Park Avenue, and that's where, when the Chinese first came to Baltimore, that's where they went to church, not only to Christian's sake, but also to learn their English. Then three blocks up was the 300 block of Park Avenue, and that's when that's when I learned that there was a Chinatown there.
And about what year was that?
That must have been like 1940 or 1950.
Describe the area, what it looked like at the time.
Well, at that time, there were several restaurants there. There was a grocery store, and there was the Merchants Association. And there were different clans, the Chinese clans. There was the Li Association, the Qin Association, and the Han Association. Mm-hmm. And those were family clans. So that if you were, let's say, a Qin and you came to Baltimore to visit, you were always welcome to come to the Qin Clan Association and stay and have food to eat at no cost to them, because that was because you were a Qin and you were welcome. And that's how these clans started, not only in Baltimore, but wherever there was a Chinese population, that's where these clans began.
And Stephanie, what drew you to researching Chinatown's history?
What drew me to understanding more of the stories and the histories and the legacy behind Baltimore Chinatown is an underlying conversation that we as Asian Americans in Baltimore City have been having. And that conversation is, what does it mean to be Asian American in a city where conversations around race are predominantly black and white? And one really important thing to note is, you know, as we delve into these stories, it's ultimately about expanding the ideas behind Baltimore's cultural history and heritage, and expanding that narrative and sharing and showcasing more of who Baltimore is and who Baltimore can become. One important thing to note in that is that this discovery is about identity, about creating an identity that is not just, you know, I'm either Asian or I'm American. It's about forging a new identity that diverges from the duality of you can only be one or the other. And this really is about allowing us to be both simultaneously and to establish that and to represent ourselves.
Is there anything that surprised you about the history as you were learning about it?
I think the most surprising thing was just how rich the history was, you know, for having just such a small footprint geographically compared to some of the other larger Chinatowns. There is still a significant story to be told in Baltimore's Chinatown. And, you know, I think back to in the Maryland Historical Society archives, there is a journal that belongs to a business owner, a laundromat owner from 1927. He's a Chinese man, and he has basically turned it into a dictionary of sorts, right? So you'll see the words that he writes in English and the words that he writes in Chinese. And that in and of itself, you know, we don't have any idea of when that journal began and when exactly it ended. It's just dated 1927. But you do see kind of the progression of the days and the life of an immigrant in 1927. And it's a pretty telling story.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Jamila Krempel, in for Sheila Cast, speaking with Stephanie Su, organizer with the Chinatown Collective, and Catherine Chin, a longtime community leader in Baltimore's Chinatown. Catherine, the first paragraph of a 1958 Baltimore Sun article reads in part, "Like those in the song, the lights of Baltimore's Chinatown are low because Baltimore's Chinatown is almost gone." This alludes to the dwindling population in that area at that time. Why did residents and business owners begin leaving Chinatown?
they really didn't want to leave Chinatown, but because the riots at that time occurred, and it sort of frightened them, so they all left, and they went out into the county. But we always wanted them to come back. That's the purpose of our trying to bring back Chinatown, not just Chinatown, but Asiantown, because that's still, there's a lot of history there. We used to have all kinds of activities on Park Avenue. We would have permission by the city to close off the street so the cars wouldn't be coming through that street, and we would have the lion, the dragon dance, and different kinds of activities. And that was so active, and it was so impressive. That's the reason my husband always wanted to bring that area back again, because there's a lot of history there. And it's something that we want the new generation to know something about their roots.
I did want to ask you about the riots of 1968. My understanding is that Chinatown was left pretty much unscathed by the riots. There wasn't damage to the businesses. Is that correct?
It wasn't damaged, but the merchants who had business there had heard that there was going to be some firing and the different kinds of things that frightened them, and that was the thing. That was the reason why they left when they did.
And apart from that, during the civil rights movement, from your observation, what were relations like between Black and Asian American Baltimoreans?
Well, actually, there was discrimination against the Asians as well as the Blacks. It led up a little bit as time went by, so we were fortunate later, and that was the purpose of wanting to bring China down so we can have identity there. Because in Baltimore, we have Little Italy, Greek town, German town, mm-hmm. and even the Jewish town. So we said, where's Chinatown?
Time for a quick break now. We just heard from Catherine Chin, a longtime community leader in Baltimore's Chinatown, and Stephanie Su, organizer with the Chinatown Collective. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Jamila Krempel, and for Sheila Cast. Catherine and Stephanie will stay with us, and after a break, we'll turn our conversation to the future of Chinatown. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm WYPR digital producer Jamila Krempel in for Sheila Cast. I'm here with Catherine Chin. She's a community leader in Baltimore's Chinatown for several decades, and Stephanie Su, organizer for the Chinatown Collective. Today, we're talking about revitalizing Baltimore's Chinatown. Catherine, you and your husband, Calvin, had a vision for Chinatown's future. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, my husband's father was very outstanding and really wanted to do a lot for Baltimore China community. And as a result, my husband was just like his dad, and he wanted to follow in his father's footsteps. And when his father passed away, Calvin wanted to follow through and try to do exactly what his dad wanted him to do.
And you and Calvin wanted to call it Asiatown instead of Chinatown. Why?
We wanted to call it Asiatown because we wanted a diverse Asian community, not just the Chinese, but we'd like to have the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Vietnamese, the Filipinos, the Indians, just so we have a diverse, it's not, because we're all Asians, so to have a diverse community would be wonderful, because then it would bring everybody into to see what the area is like.
And you spoke a little bit about this earlier. Plenty of other ethnic neighborhoods are trying to figure out how to keep their connections to the past, to their history and ancestry, but still adapt to changing times. In Greektown, for instance, a number of Latino and Latina-owned businesses have joined the neighborhood. And in Chinatown, there are several Ethiopian businesses. This question open to both of you. How do you see this diversity fitting into the future of Chinatown?
Well, I think the Ethiopian restaurant is nice, but that is not Asian. We'd like to see that area as Asian, because I'm sure that the Ethiopians would like to see their community as well, not by themselves, but by their community. So this is the reason why we like to see the different Asian businesses. Not, you know, we can have a Filipino restaurant, a Japanese restaurant, and the different kinds of arts and culture, because eventually we would like to have it as a museum and have it as a senior center for the elderly to have some place that they can all be together and have something in common and be able to communicate and feel more among themselves.
How about you, Stephanie? What do you think about that?
The purpose and intentions behind the Chinatown Collective are to pick up where Ms. Catherine and her husband Calvin left off, right? When we talk about inclusion now in 2018, inclusion includes all communities of color. And so for us as an organization of eight.
Of eight people.
Of eight good friends. In moving forward, we are conscious and intentional in creating programming that allows us to be supportive of other businesses, artists, creatives, communities of color across Baltimore City that aren't necessarily Asian American, Pacific Islander.
Stephanie, I'm curious about the ways in which younger generations connect to their ancestry or not. Speak about what being a young Asian American means to you and what being Asian American in Baltimore, what that experience is like for you.
I think being Asian American in this generation is interesting because we've seen this outpouring of growth from this kind of shame around our culture and identity and having that morph into a pride over the course of one generation, right? And I'm just going to read something that one of our members of the Chinatown Collective, Leandra Lagara, wrote. We remember what it was like growing up as an Asian American, where we had our communities but had to primarily grow up in non-Asian places. We remember our non-Asian friends asking why we had 25 pounds of rice in our kitchens. We remember downplaying our culture, our appearance, our food, our traditions, all in the name of being successful in this world. We remember what it was like when our food could only be had in bodegas or our mother's kitchens. We remember all of those things and more, and because we remember, the recent proliferation of our culture, our food, our tradition seem even more fulfilling. And tying that into what it means to be Asian American in Baltimore City, I think, you know, now across the country, there's a push for representation, whether that's in food, in media, in film, in art. You'll see, you know, a greater push from our generation of Asian Americans saying, you know, this is who we are, this is our own identity, this is who we want to become. But Baltimore City hasn't seen a lot of that. And for each of the members of the collective, myself included, it was about knowing that it's not that Baltimore City has no Asian Americans. We're all here. But we all exist in pockets, and that was the theme that kept on coming up. And this event, the Charm City Night Market, and hopefully future events to come, is really all about giving ourselves an excuse to come together into one space at one time for one reason, to celebrate ourselves, to celebrate representation, and to galvanize each other and encourage each other to be more engaged with with our city at large.
Yeah, Stephanie, tell us about the night market, how many people attended and how it went.
The night market, the first hopefully inaugural night market, was hosted on Saturday, September 22nd from 4 to 11 p.m. at 200 Park Avenue, which is just two blocks down the street from where historic Chinatown used to be. The attendance in total was somewhere we estimate between 12 and 13,000, which is tremendously more than we could have asked or anticipated. In vendor participation, we had about 25 food vendors and about 25 artist vendors and 13 individual performing artist groups, all from different backgrounds and different genres. And this gathering, this celebration, was really just one way for everyone to see each other. And I think more than anything else, it's visibility. if you can't see those who are like you, you don't know that there are more people like you around you. And to recognize that we exist in this city, and to recognize that there is a wealth of creativity from all different backgrounds, genres, industries, creative practices, and that we're all here to work together towards a better, brighter future.
And Catherine, you were there, right?
Yes, and if my husband were there, he would be overwhelmed because this is his dream. And we were just overwhelmed. And I just had to cry when I saw all the people there because it just meant so much to us.
I bet. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Jamila Krumple in for Sheila Cast, speaking with Catherine Chin and Stephanie Hsu about Baltimore's Chinatown, its past and future. I want to go back to Stephanie talking about visibility and specifically population. The 2016 U.S. Census community survey showed that Baltimore's Asian population is around 15,000 people. Tell us about the growth of the Asian American community. This, you both can chime in here in Baltimore.
So, of course, you'll see growth within the Asian American community pursuing traditional paths of education with Hopkins here and just a wealth of universities, MICA and the like. You'll see many students coming here to pursue secondary education and hopefully staying to continue those practices. But in addition, Baltimore City is a great city with so many resources for aspiring entrepreneurs, artists, and creatives of all different backgrounds. And thanks to that landscape, you'll see increasingly that Baltimore is a city of opportunity. And we hope that through initiatives like the Charm City Night Market and other programming through the Chinatown Collective, that more Asian Americans can see Baltimore City as a place to call home.
And Catherine, what about the growth that you've seen?
I noticed that there are a lot of Hopkins students, Chinese Hopkins students, that come down to Park Avenue because they like to come down there to see what is there and what restaurants are there, because that makes them feel much at home. And when I am down there, because they always ask me to come down to help them, the owner of the restaurant. So when I come down there and I see these Chinese students there, I just have to go over and welcome them and find out, yes, they are Hopkins students. And then they start talking to me, and they're just overwhelmed to find out that this is part of Chinatown. So they're really happy. And then that encourages other students from Hopkins to come down.
According to an August Baltimore Business Journal article, several Chinatown buildings will become mixed-use property, apartments and retail. About 10 years ago, there was even talk about moving Chinatown to the neighborhood of Station North. This question is open to both of you. What do you think about a new Chinatown?
I don't think it's necessary to have a new Chinatown because there's still a lot of history there on Park Avenue. Park Avenue, 300, 400 block Park Avenue, and it's so close to the city. It's so close to other areas in the city that it would be just wonderful to have it stay where it is.
And what about you, Stephanie?
I think in Baltimore City, at least, and I hope I can be the one to say this, but for us working on this project, Chinatown is a people, it's not a place. For us, Chinatown means a gathering space for our community to celebrate each other, for us to be able to see the wealth and diversity of the Pan-Asian community in Baltimore City.
What does the Chinatown Collective envision for the future?
When we think about the future, we want to push and establish for the creation of a new identity, a new generation of Asian Americans who care about the city, who care about being allies to other communities of color, and for the Chinatown Collective to be able to continue creating programming that highlights all of the hopefully new and incoming artists and creatives and food entrepreneurs, and to be able to continue to see our community represent itself is ultimately where we're trying to go.
Well, thank you both for coming in today. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, it was a pleasure, and I enjoyed being here.
That's Stephanie Hsu, organizer with the Chinatown Collective, and Catherine Chin, a longtime community leader in Baltimore's Chinatown. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we have some historic images of Baltimore's Chinatown and from the recent Charm City Night Market. We also have links to future events in the area. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Jamila Krempel, in for Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.